to speak with Sharon or our guest. The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. You know, Terry was by yesterday. You saw him, right?
That's right. He did come by.
He was in the truck and did the wave and came, got a cup, some mask. And he just said, I love my station, my people. And, you know, that's how we do it. And, you know, some of our listeners, they, you know, were listening on the radio at the time and just put their wheels in that direction and came over. One gentleman had it up when he raised his windows down with the AC on. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah, a lot of listeners came by.
Thank you.
That were listening.
That was sweet. Thank you.
And the guy who said he loves the Catch the Flow show.
Oh, that's right. He really loves that show. Christian McBride.
Yep.
Yeah.
He said, man, that's the show right there.
Yeah. Christian McBride is as cool as they come, man. Shoot, they don't, you know, he's just super cool. Anyway. Tiffany is going to be with us in about 10 to 15 minutes. So, meanwhile, back at the ranch, here's what is going on. A few things that Ron didn't cover or doesn't cover that I do that I wanted to include this afternoon. Secretary of State, Trey Hargett, has voiced opposition to offering drop boxes for absentee ballots. The Republican told a U.S. Senate panel today that the state requires returning those ballots by mail in the name of security. Hargett joined via video conference as a witness to a hearing on election preparations by the Senate Committee on Rules and Administration. He drew scrutiny, I'm certain, from two Democrats and an independent over the state's opposition to make absentee voting, widely available during the coronavirus pandemic, which a judge ordered in our state last month, and the state is appealing. Tennessee's primary is August the 6th. This is the latest in voter suppression brought to you by
today's Republican
the drop
Party.
Box. I mean, you know what? Oh, Lord, it just never ends. That's why y'all must do it. Just don't, you know. It's just.
I think they should all be voted out of office and should never be allowed to serve in any public capacity ever again.
Well,
in the middle of a pandemic, they would sit there and try to make it difficult for people to go out and vote. Yeah. It is just, I mean, you have no business
serving. And other states have it.
Just leave service. Why are you there? It makes no sense.
Well, they're there to block.
Wow.
Okay, they're there to block.
They're blocking their own people.
But
what, do you think only Democrats vote by mail?
Well, only Democrats use a drop box, maybe. Well, but see, that in the mindset of people that are like this situation, they're not thinking about their own disenfranchising their own folks.
They're not thinking.
They're like, whoops, we accidentally hurt you. We didn't mean to. But that's what happens when you set out to hurt people. And this is, you know, somebody was on the show a month or so ago. And they said to me during the interview process, don't forget, there's a lot of tactics they're using, going to be using in your state for voter suppression. And I was like, okay, I'll keep my eyes on it. And then, you know, this Dropbox thing.
Yeah.
I was amazed that we got the opportunity to even have that option.
They use that in Kentucky.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
In other states.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was amazed that Trey Hargett, the Secretary of State, and the state of Tennessee allowed that to even happen. Okay, I'm surprised. So that was good. And, of course, you know, you have but so many days left to get that taken care of. But to not offer the drop box, which means you got to get out or have stamps, or if you can just, like, drop it off where you're on your way to the doctor or the store or something. And, I mean, just make your life 2 seconds worth of convenience.
Yeah.
Okay? No, we don't want to do that. We don't want to make anybody's life convenient. And it's just so...
So what do they do? Sit around in a room or in a conference call or in a Zoom and say, okay, minorities, Hispanics, people who vote, how do they normally vote? No, let's see. How can we stop and block?
Excuse me, son.
Uh-huh.
They crack open the how to suppress handbook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, from you know, the 1900s
okay,
edition.
I got
and they
you.
Crack open that.
Okay.
And they use every single thing
every
in
trick.
It. Yeah. I mean, this is, you know.
That's what they do.
Yeah. So, we just realize that all this stuff is not new. Okay. So, we're going to move on. And because it's the handbook.
Yeah. But that's why I try to vote
early.
But
I'm just saying, it's the handbook.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. And any other tricks that come out of the trick bag are going to come from there.
Wow.
Now, let me move to the next thing. Voter rights advocates have filed a lawsuit in our state. A lot of lawsuits demanding that top election officials allow people to participate in elections if they've had their voting rights restored after being convicted of a felony out of state. The Campaign Legal Center submitted the complaint today on behalf of two residents who have been convicted of a felony outside of Tennessee and have since had their voting rights restored in the state of their conviction. The complaint names Coordinator of Elections Mark Goins, Secretary of State Trey Hargett, and Attorney General William Slattery as defendants in the lawsuit, which was filed in Davidson County Chancery Court. Now, let's see. That's two Trey Hargetts. What page was that on the, in the voter suppression handbook? Okay. He's like, his name is in countless ways of how to keep folk from going, not how to encourage people. And that is just so pathetic. You know, same day.
It is.
Yeah. Just totally crazy. Let me shift a quick gear here out of Atlanta. A horse-drawn carriage will take the Reverend C.T. Vivian's casket to Martin Luther King Jr.'s tomb in Atlanta on the eve of his funeral. There was a viewing and ceremony at the Georgia Capitol today before the casket is taken down Piedmont Avenue and Auburn Avenue to the King Center later on today, which is probably there now. A private funeral is set for tomorrow at Providence Missionary Baptist Church in Atlanta. Vivian died Friday at the age of 95. He was honored by former President Barack Obama with the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2013. So many will probably be in their cars watching.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Watching from the street as the horse-drawn carriage with the casket of iconic civil rights leader Reverend C.T. Vivian passed by today. Now, this is back on the trail of the monuments. I hadn't talked about them in a couple of weeks. Dozens of Confederate statues have fallen across the country, often in more liberal-leaning urban centers, but in many smaller places. The effort to remove markers that may be viewed as racist relics have stalled or has yet to arrive. A tally by the Associated Press shows that more than 60 Confederate statues, monuments, or markers have been removed from public land across the country since George Floyd's death on May 25th, all but 8 have come down in cities or metropolitan areas larger than 50,000 people. Most of the areas lean politically left, with 41 of the monuments removed in counties or equivalent areas that voted Democratic in the 2016 presidential election. So, but this state hasn't voted Democratic in Lord knows.
A long time.
I mean, from Phil Bredesen, you know. So, but some stuff must change. We are honoring people who are not worthy of being honored. And yes, it's history, but go to the museum and see it. Build a Confederate Memorial Museum. I'm sure there's probably one somewhere already.
Yeah.
The Tennessee edition to come.
And then all the people who love that history, they can donate to it.
It's all there.
They can donate to it.
They can help build it.
Yeah, there it is.
Build it and they will come.
Yes.
And it'll be filled with all the statues.
Confederate Museum.
The pantheon of Confederate general statues.
Write their own history, all that stuff.
Plaques and markers.
Yeah.
And for $20, you too can tour.
Yep.
And for an extra $2, you can take a picture.
Next to a flag.
There is a hate museum, though.
Oh.
Yeah. And I had found out about it, because you know I'm a museum fanatic. And I had found out about it some years back. And I was like, you know, that's for me personally. Mm-hmm. That might be a bridge too far. But it was designed to be educational.
Mm.
But, you know, who wants to have in their part of their memory banks, I attended the Hate Museum.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, yeah. You know, taking photos there and, you know, doing your check-ins and all locations. That's mm-hmm. weird, isn't it?
It is.
And I said, well, no, I won't bypass that one. And, and they had a lot of, inside of it was a lot of things like, the mammy figurines, the salt and pepper shakers of the mm-hmm. slave women and stuff. And they had a lot of things depicting black people with big saucer lips and, things like comic books and posters and, you know, just things like that. It was just tons and tons mm-hmm. of this stuff that this curator and the people that put this thing together had been collecting. And it came from all over the United States. And, people used to have those things in the yard holding a lantern. They used to have the black man out there holding a lantern. I'm like, take that man off there and let him rest. The brother don't even get a break. That's the kind of stuff that was in there. And it was really some very, very disturbing things, you know, that were in there. And how our image has been so
distorted.
Trashed.
Yeah.
Just trashed. And a lot of monkey things and, you know, just stuff of that nature. So that was one that I said, no.
Bridge too far.
Yeah. I didn't think it would be good for my mind. we're trying to rule all that stuff out of our heads. You mm-hmm. know, this is an empowerment show. So, but there will be people that enjoy stuff like that. And maybe it's good for you to learn, some history so you won't repeat it. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, let's take a time out, get a traffic report in there, and then we'll be hearing from today's, this hour's book, Say It Louder, Black Voters, White Narratives, and Saving Our Democracy. We'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. This message is sponsored by NAACP Nashville Branch, reminding you, we've marched, we've protested, now it's election time, and it's your time to make a change. The NAACP is counting on you to vote, because it is important and we need to make a difference. Early voting will continue until Saturday, August 1st. Early voting polls are open Monday through Saturday at 8 a.m. The polls close on Mondays and Fridays at 5:30, on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m., and on Wednesday and Saturday at 4:30 p.m. This message is brought to you by the NAACP Nashville branch. Let's go to the polls in record numbers. If you have problems at the polls, call 615-329-0999 to make a report.
Good afternoon. Still crawling along up into Robertson County due to the wreck on the interstate 65 southbound at the 117. Latest wreck with injuries over in Union Hill. It's going to be the 1200 block of Dickerson Pike. Still working that crash on Opry Mills Drive near the Bass Pro Shop in Two Rivers. Wreck with injuries being cleared in Hermitage OHB at Old Lebanon Dirt Road. This traffic report is brought to you by Barnes Music City Soul Food. BarnesMusicCitySoulFood.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Tune in on Thursdays to hear WF SK's Artist of the Week. You can win some brand new music and stay up on the latest smooth and contemporary jazz releases. This week's WFSK Artist of the Week is one we haven't chatted with in some years. He's Grammy-nominated producer and pianist Chris Big Dog Davis. His latest release is entitled Focus. Don't miss the WFSK feature Artist of the Week during the noon hour on Thursdays right here on Jazzy 88, Nashville's Jazz Station. Jazzy 88 WFSK is reminding you that your vote is your voice. Early voting for the state and federal primary runs from July 17th through August 1st. Important seats for various offices are on this year's ballot. If you're a registered voter and do not wish to vote in person due to the COVID-19 pandemic, you are eligible to request an absentee ballot by mail. It must be completed and received in the Davidson County Election Commission office by July 30th. You also have the option to vote in person during early voting or on election day. And again, WFSK, Nashville's Jazz Station, is reminding you that your vote is most definitely your voice.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Happy to have you tuned in today, listening to us here in the city of Nashville or online at WFSKFM.org. New books, you know, we always like to talk about the new ones. And, of course, the good ones. That's always on top. Say It Louder is today's book for discussion. And I want to introduce the guest. And I know many of you all have seen her face and know her work. And, you know, you're quite familiar with this young lady, talented young lady of media and television and journalism and education, Tiffany D. Cross. Hey, Tiffany, how are you?
I'm great. Happy to be with you today.
I am so happy to have you with us to talk about your new book. I know many of our audience members may be familiar with seeing you on CNN and MSNBC doing the great work that you've done, and congratulations on your accomplishments. I want to tell you that first.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. You must be on book tour right now.
I am. Yeah, I am. Very packed day.
Okay. All right. Well, Say It Loud is, you know, that reminds me of James Brown, you know, I'm Black and I'm Proud. But your book today is just recently out, and our audience, if you haven't picked it up yet, please do, because it's a good, very good read. And this young lady brings, or Say It Louder, rather, this young lady brings a lot to the table in terms of research and opinions. Black voters, white narratives, and saving our democracy. And before I go into in-depth into the book, you, Tiffany, let me ask you, didn't you go to a HBCU?
I did. I attended Clark Atlanta University.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, from one HBCU to another, that's what's up.
Thank you. Okay. I see you all day.
Was that helpful to you in understanding things, the African American educational opportunities and learning? So many different things from HBCU are taught. Is that some of how you got the desire to go into what you do, or have you always wanted to follow that path?
Before I got to college, I wanted to pursue journalism. So that was something I showed up with a passion for. However, being there, Clark Atlanta had a great mass communications program, and that was my study with an emphasis on radio, TV, and film. So it was certainly helpful in my career path.
And knowing that's the case, and from a Black perspective, did it give you a different lens or different look at how significant the work in media is? If you're seeing things and you're an African American, writing the stories, making the decisions, etc. What I'm trying to get to is, you know, when you go to a historically Black college, there's different courses and different mindsets and things that you gain that direct you in your life. And, you know, you seem to be very sharp and astute when it comes to making political observations. You saw it from a different lens, maybe because of your life experiences, or what?
Sure. I mean, I've always grown up around Black people and been surrounded by Black people, so... definitely. Something I write about in the book, Say It Louder, Black Voters, White Narratives, and Saving Our Democracy, is just the beauty of Black people and the contributions we've made to this country, particularly in the media landscape. So, you know, in the political media landscape, a lot of the conversations tend to center white people.
Yeah.
And because I'm so entrenched in the Black experience, my contention in the book is when white mediagationers bleach the American experience, they destroy democracy at the same time. And that's evidenced through several examples that I detail, and also make, you know, a point to talk about the contributions that black people have made to this country. And so while I wrote the book to black people, I did not write it exclusively for black people. I think there should be an intellectual curiosity about the rising majority. We're every bit as much as the framers as the people who penned the Constitution.
Right.
And so I really wanted to highlight that point in the book and make it something that's digestible and comprehensible to people, even if you're not in the politics or have never worked in media. It's in a very conversational way that it can be widely consumed by all.
Right. Well, and since I've been in the media 41 years, perspective is slightly different. In that we've always had to be the one to bring the subject matter to the forefront, because other than that, it was not going to be discussed. And your story is kind of, you kind of tell that in your first couple of chapters, specifically in part one, rather, how I got here. And would in your, the world that you're in now, in cable TV news and et cetera, the narrative is so backwards and upside down. Do you spend a lot of the time, and do you explain that in the book about how you have to reset the table or change the mindset of a lot of people with the work that you're doing?
Well, I'll just say about working in news and media, the first few chapters, like you said, I wanted to make the book very intimate and write about my story. I've been in media not as long as you, but going on 22 years now, and it's an adjustment. You know, I was often the only, and, you know, was working in a landscape that made me feel like my experience was not relevant. It made me feel like the black lived experience in this country was not worthy of coverage. And the direct impact that had on democracy just, you know, really caused, cast a dark shadow, I think, across our local government, our federal government, our state government, with the lack of coverage on GOP-led voter suppression, with the false narrative that had been perpetuated. So I was trying to use my own story as a backdrop to punctuate the point about the intersection of black people, democracy, and media.
Well, I think really that's kind of what propelled you to the success that you're having, is because you weren't fearful to tell it, and you didn't have to be politically correct. Although, you know, when you're in the mainstream media, you have to do sometimes what you have to do. But the way you framed it and do frame it is inspiration to a lot of up-and-coming and young journalists. So, you know, on behalf of the sisters, thank you.
I hope so. That was the intention. I wanted younger people who were entering this space to be prepared for it. I mean, I write about how, you know, I would read multiple papers every morning, and a lot of young people over the years who come in my office and want to work for me, and I say, well, where do you get your news from? And they say Twitter, or they say MSNBC, and it's like, you don't really want to work in journalism if you're not reading papers every day, if you're not a news junkie, if you're not well-informed, if you're not consuming wires. And so I wanted to at least create a platform for people to understand what it takes to make it in the business, but also to arm them with, you can do all of these things and be better than counterparts and still have people question your work. So at bare minimum, we have to show up as the best just to compete with the mediocre.
Absolutely. And that's from day one to the bitter end. Now, in part two, how we got here, you start to really bring it home in terms of how the politics are laid out in particular battleground states. Give us an overview of those chapters in part two, please.
So I wanted to talk about modern-day voter suppression that really mirrored the Jim Crow era of the country. And so I focused, I could have literally written this book about so many states. Every state has some level of voter suppression that disproportionately impacts black folks. But instead I focused on Georgia and Florida, mm-hmm. and Ohio and Michigan. And I wanted two states in the South because voter suppression is a Southern tradition. But so many people think it's only in the South. And so mm-hmm. I wanted to focus on Ohio and Michigan because those two states are swing states and often have an impact on electoral outcomes. And so I write about in Georgia, Brian Kemp, the Republican governor, literally jailed black people for running for office and winning. And they were literally arrested. They were in orange jumpsuits and had their faces plastered all across Fox News. Mm-hmm. And this is something straight out of 1962, you know, that a lot of people would be surprised that's still happening because it's not mainstream media stories. And right. so I wanted to point out what was happening. So many people don't know that 75,000 people had their votes thrown out in Detroit in the 2016 election. As you know, Detroit is Motown. That's home to a lot of folks who look like us.
Right.
And we did not hear about these 75,000 votes that were thrown out after the election. And as you know, Hillary Clinton lost that state by 10,000 votes.
Mm-hmm.
Had those votes been counted, she would have not only carried the state, but would have carried the presidency as well.
Mm.
And the fact that 75,000 people could go through that, if 75,000 people have their data stolen from Target, if 75,000 people missed an airline, it would have been breaking news across the country.
Mm-hmm.
But 75,000 black people having their vote discounted barely got a mention. And the impact that that has had on democracy, the past 4 years, if we've seen the core pillars of this country being eroded by a white supremacist in the White House, it shows the direct connection, the direct correlation between black voters, white media gatekeepers, and the functioning of our country.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And for those that vote in every election, we just really can't stand it when folks don't stand up and represent like they should. Because, you know, it just seems like we're always hearing about if a couple 10 or 15, 30,000 more had it done such and such, what a difference it could have made. Do you think that scenario will be the same this time when it comes for us to cast our ballot for Joe Biden versus the current administration?
I certainly hope so, but I'm also very careful not to lay the failures of this democracy at the feet of black folks.
Mm-hmm.
This certainly isn't a book to shame black people who get it, but we have to be honest about the election of Donald Trump.
Right.
One of the false narratives that got perpetuated afterwards was that black voters stayed home in 2016, so Donald Trump got elected, which is not true. White women elected this man president. They outpaced a whole lot of other folks. White people everywhere. This false narrative of economic anxiety was just BS, okay? White people everywhere who were not suffering economically were excited about what this man was saying. They heard the racist rhetoric and still went to the ballot box and cast their votes. I can't be mad at black people who have been victims of a system that has poisoned them, imprisoned them, kept their children in dilapidated schools, kept their families in redlined communities, and now we're telling them, no, but if you go participate in this system, it will save you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't encourage anyone to not vote. Everybody should participate.
Right.
But we have to come at it from a historical perspective of why black people are not lining up at the ballot box. They have to have something to be excited about. Joe Biden isn't necessarily an exciting ticket. When Obama spoke to them and attempted to speak for them, we saw numbers we hadn't seen since 1964 after the Voting Rights Act passed.
Yeah.
And so I hope black people will vote, but every time we say black folks don't vote, I hope we follow it up with GOP-led voter suppression, foreign election interference that specifically targets black folks, and now this time around, the fallout of COVID-19. So that unholy trinity stands to cast a dark shadow around GOPV efforts this go-around. And now that we have Donald Trump attacking mail-in ballots, all of a sudden voter suppression has become a story. Why?
Yeah.
Because mail-in ballots affect white people.
Hmm.
And so now there might be some support and help, but there are organizations all the time who deal with black folks who have been dealing with this forever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what it's like when you show up to vote and you got lines around the building because so few polling places exist in black neighborhoods because black folks show up and they find out they've been purged from voting rolls. And so this time we have some hurdles that we have to clear, but if ever there was an election that it mattered, I would say that it's this one. But the truth for black voters is it's not a choice between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. It's a choice between Joe Biden and stay home. So yeah. I hope Joe Biden gives the people something that they will be excited to cast a ballot for him.
So it is an observation that many are making that he might not select a black woman as his vice presidential running mate. And of course, you know, if they don't throw speculation out there, we won't pay attention. What early thoughts are you thinking that is he backed into the corner? He really has to do it, or does he want to do it?
I think we'll see. You know, I think political predictions have not served us well in this democracy, to be honest. The truth is nobody knows. Anyone who says they know is not being truthful. But I really don't know. I think if he does not select a black woman, it will be hard for us not to take it as though he went out of his way not to do so. And I, as you may know, I penned an op-ed with my friends and colleagues, Andrew Elias, CNN, Sunny Hostin at The View, the great actress Amanda Seales, Latasha Brown of Black Voters Matter, Alicia Garza, and Brittany Packnett, the activists. And we pinned an op-ed in the Post, or the Washington Post, and said, yes, Joe Biden should absolutely choose a black woman. And a lot of the loudest voices of opposition were other black people who vote out of fear, who say, whoa, whoa, don't make these demands of Joe Biden. We have to focus on getting Trump out of office. But nobody ever says that when the gun lobby makes their demands. Nobody's ever mad when evangelicals make their demands. Nobody's ever mad when single-issue voters make demands of candidates. But when black folks say, we sit at the epicenter of political power, and this is what we want for our loyalty and for disproportionately upholding this country, this party and this democracy, all of a sudden it's fear. And I understand that fear because we've been so brutalized in this country. But at a certain point, we have to stop operating out of fear, harness our power, and force his hand. Because we are the ones who are going to have to go out into these communities and encourage people to vote. And as long as he's making appeals to people who ain't thinking about him, his appeal has been a lot to Trump supporters. His appeal has been the swing voters. How do we come in this space and say, no, let me remind you, homie, dance with the one who won you. And so that's been my only goal, creating power for black voters, power for black people in the country that we built.
Yeah. And when we get it, let us treat each other right with it. I mean, just
exactly.
I mean, because if that doesn't go with the equation, then we're in the same boat we would be in. Now, in part three, in the wrap up here, I know you got to go. If chapter 13, if you don't vote, you don't count. And 14, fade to black. When are we going to fade to black? So tell me about that section, that final chapter in your book, please. Say it louder.
Well, I would encourage people to buy the book and read it to get a real understanding of the chapters. You know, but I would just say we're the rising majority of the country and that we have to stop operating out of fear and start harnessing our collective spirit of who we are and shape this democracy to our liking. And government is going to be by the people, of the people, and for the people. Then certainly for the people should include us. And a lot of people vote to make sure that for the people does not include us. So we have to go in large numbers and deliver a decisive victory. And then that doesn't end our fight. The struggle will continue after that. Because Donald Trump did not invent white supremacy. We have 400 years of it to undo.
That's true now. Say that. She's Tiffany D. Cross, author of Say It Louder, Black Voters, White Narratives, and Saving Our Democracy. Tiffany, thank you so much. It was just a joy to, because you was about to get me fired up, and I said, well, you know, I looked at the clock. I'm like, oops, don't get going, because she got to go. But for people to...
No worries.
For people to, I'm sure the book is available everywhere books are sold, and what's all your website, best place for everything?
Yes, they can go to my website, TiffanyDCross.com. They can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at TiffanyDCross.
That is.
So my handles are all the same, and Facebook.
Okay, and that is a tell the photographer. That photo on your website is just fabulous. And
thank you so much.
Oh yeah, that's righteous. Or as I would say at my house, that's tight and right. So I notice little things, you know. Anyway, Tiffany, thank you so much, and I only wish you the very best.
Thank you, likewise. Best to you. This was great. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Bye bye.
I know. Okay, bye bye.
I know you've seen her on TV a bunch, huh?
Seen her a lot.
Yeah.
On the weekend on MSNBC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Filling in for Joy Reid and everyone else.
Yeah. She'll probably end up being full-time.
We'll see. There's a lot of people jockeying for that 8 o'clock. Was it 8 o'clock in the morning, Saturdays and Sundays?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, yeah.
Central. Yeah. Have your name in lights. And and a check. Hey, a big one.
Yeah.
Hi.
Notoriety.
Along with that, too much is given.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. As you ask for much. Don't be hollering and crying about it. When somebody want to talk to you. Whatever. Anyway, let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. This message is sponsored by NAACP Nashville Branch, reminding you, we've marched, we've protested. Now it's election time, and it's your time to make a change. The NAACP is counting on you to vote because it is important, and we need to make a difference. Early voting will continue until Saturday, August 1st. Early voting polls are open Monday through Saturday at 8 a.m. The polls close on Mondays and Fridays at 5:30 p.m., on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m., and on Wednesday and Saturday at 4:30 p.m. This message is brought to you by the NAACP Nashville branch. Let's go to the polls in record numbers. If you have problems at the polls, call 615-329-0999 to make a report.
Good afternoon. Still busy here on the South Loop, the West Loop, over in Union Hill. They're working that crash with injuries. It's got it backed up in both directions, a 1200 block of Dickerson Pike. Really heavy now. 24 as you leave Nashville, headed out towards Murfreesboro. Traffic's on the increase as well. 65 down into Williamson County. This traffic report is brought to you by Bars Music City Soul Food. BarsMusicCitySoulFood.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
It's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Hello, Nashville. Coming up Sunday morning at 7, news headlines and issues of the day. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll be discussing a new book on white Christian privilege with the author, Kiati Joshi. She's a professor at Fairleigh Dickinson University.
That's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, twice a week, every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. and every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Work, school, grocery shopping, doctor's appointments, the gym, to the airport to pick up loved ones, to the kids' soccer games, piano lessons, out for movie night, to hear your favorite band in the city, over to grandma and grandpa's house, and on last year's amazing road trip. Your vehicle takes you so many places. Protect it. When you leave your vehicle, remember to always take your keys or key fob with you and lock the doors. If you suspect auto theft, contact the National Insurance Crime Bureau at 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB or visit our website at www.nicb.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Next time on Jazz Night in America, a brief history of mambo and the music of Orquesta Acocan, and we're hanging at the Musical Instrument Museum in Phoenix.
Museo para visitarlo casi un día entero, o varios días.
He's saying it's a museum for one day or a couple days.
All that on the next Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, Tenashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And those clouds were kind of thick there and dark, weren't
they? Looks a little dark now.
Yeah, but I mean, they were just like any moment.
Wait till we get home, right?
Yeah, right. Out the window, any moment. And, you know, that was pretty, like, I knew it was going to storm. But I know a lot of people are experiencing different levels of rain and showers and et cetera as they are driving home this afternoon. Some of you will, in no doubt, encounter a strong to severe thunderstorm. That's very likely that many of you already have across our region today. Those are to the north of I-40. For folks traveling in that direction. And the winds are blowing from 40 to 50 miles per hour. And that is one of the biggest concerns, is that high wind, along with the heavy rain that would be falling at the time and some small hail. Some people have already gone through this, and some will are yet to experience it. But that's what's on tap for us today and tonight. And a wee bit of it for tomorrow, with some of the same possibilities and same conditions as today. So they come, they leave, have dark clouds, high winds, a little, some pea size, and then they move in, they move out, and then they move on, like where we are right now. We are at 87. Degrees in the city, and that's better than what was predicted. Originally, it was predicted to be 90 plus, and so we have done better than, I guess the rain helped cool it off a little bit. I was wondering if you heard that, X. Oh, I'll wait till it gets to the other side. You know, this, we live, so I'm just going to say stuff. I was wondering if you heard that.
Oh, I heard it.
Okay, so that means you got good broadcaster ears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wasn't sure if it was the microphone or.
No, I knew. The radio. I knew that particular noise. I said that's me in this room. And if you didn't have your broadcaster ears on, you wouldn't have heard.
We know that sound.
Yeah. That's like the kind of noise that when a dog can hear it. Them broadcaster ears.
Yep.
And, you know, you can't, if you're not paying attention, you won't hear it. But it's over now. But anyway, it was just enough to say, okay, I know what I need to do. When I saw you move, I was like, very good. Yep, he's got broadcaster ears.
Notorious feedback.
Yeah, don't say what it is. You're going to demystify the mist. Yeah, just, you know, it's
the sound.
Yeah. No, you got to, don't tell them. Because then they hear it, they're going to be saying, oh. You know, them broadcaster ears.
Yep.
Anyway, I appreciate Tiffany for squeezing us in. She's on a big, in between all her other stuff, she's on a big book tour. And released her book not so long ago, and I guess it was tough to do a major national release of a book tour and have a pandemic at the same time.
Yeah,
you know, and there's several other people
and like preparing for a new show.
Yeah, or you know, preparing for a lot of phone and a lot of Zoomy and. You know, you remember, I was thinking about this the other day, because see, my mind, my thoughts, you know, when you get so many in your head, you just, something just ooze out. People that think a lot, they get it. But those that don't ever think, then, you know. Let me see, before I speak, I'm going to look up the year, so I'm going to see how old you were. And this will determine. What I'm going to say when I talk to you. See, I don't remember. You know, you are the same age as my daughter, so I have to remember it like that. Because if I don't, I'll be asking you about stuff that happened when you was a little boy. And you'll be like, my mama knows, but I don't know. Anyway, okay. You know, ever since the pandemic, really, and everybody's had to reframe and change everything that they have done, there has been the advent of, you know, the Zoom. And Zoom used to mean other things. It's meant several.
Yeah.
But, you know.
TV show.
but I was thinking music, because, you know, I got a music head. And
I see where you're going with this.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's, I can't be going two places. Don't try to step me ahead of me too fast. Because I know what you're trying to do, trying to read my mind through the glass. See, you know, I've been working with him a long time.
I remember.
He thinks he can read. No. I gave you a hint, didn't I? He thinks he can read my head through that glass. I'm like, no, you can't. I'm trying to tell you. So, because I think on my feet all the time. Okay, now since you said that, I mean, I got to throw part two in there. Okay, and don't be clicking and clacking while I'm talking.
Oh, no, I got you.
Yeah, because I know you'd be sneaking and typing it in. I don't, you know, okay. How old were you when Zoom was a hit by Lionel Richie?
Oh, wow. I can't answer that.
That's trivia, isn't it?
I don't know.
That's the original Zoom.
Yeah.
That's not y'all's phones and
yeah.
videos. Okay. That would be a question for your mom.
Yeah.
I bet you.
I got to find out what year that came out.
I'll tell you in a minute. Okay. But I bet you your mama and your daddy know.
Okay.
And folk that would be in my demo know.
Yeah.
Because to us, until the pandemic and the Zoom on your phone and your computer, we say that word, we, you know,
yeah,
that was what we were thinking about, because that was a huge hit.
Yeah, I'm surprised they hadn't used that for some marketing.
Well, maybe maybe I just gave them an idea. Okay,
your check's in the mail.
Yeah, right. You know, ain't nobody giving you nothing.
That's low hanging fruit for them.
I know, but they weren't even born then, so they don't even know what I'm talking about.
Gotcha.
Wow. So I'm just saying. So don't be surprised when they use that song on a commercial.
Commercial comes out.
And see, the listeners of this broadcast, they will say, you know, ain't that what Sean Kay said? but we taping this. So I got proof.
Yep.
But that, it's just like, to me, that's where my mind goes every time somebody says Zoom. I go to Lionel Richie and the Commodores, and that was when they were, Lionel was, they were young and, you know, sexy and fine and all that. They still all right, but, you know, but the point is that they were hot. 1977.
Wow, that is something else.
I know. So we try to tell the children that y'all stuff ain't new, okay?
I was 6 years old.
Oh, then you really don't know that song then. Ask your people. I bet you there's some stories. Mm-hmm. Y'all see, I know y'all got stories. And you remember 77. Mm-hmm. Don't start me up. I'm getting ready to have my thoughts in the car as I get ready to load them up. But I mean, just to see how words and things have changed so dramatically. What was is no more, unless you go back to that Commodore's fifth album from 1977. And it was at the top of the charts on it for a long time. 2 months at the top. So clearly, they made some major money off of that one. So there you go. There's your trivia for today. And I bet you hadn't thought about 1977.
No.
In a long time.
I had.
Life was different back then.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, for the days.
Yeah.
Anyway. Now, I know you know the song, right?
I do.
Okay. I'd like to go away. Zoom, baby.
Yeah.
I'd like, you know. Y'all, yeah, just think of that.
Which recording, which jazz artist remade it?
You know, I'm going to have to do some research on that. I'm going to have to do my homework. Because, you know, I come up with 27 versions. I get to calling folk and say, man, did you do? You better go on and send that to your girl. So, but anyway, it would be nice just to have that in the memory banks, you know. Think about that from the Zoom of the original to the Zoom of today. My, how things have changed, but some really hasn't. Anyway, that's all we have for you in Nashville, A-L-L. You all have the very best of the best. And don't forget, who loves you?
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.